welcome to the New Beginnings message of the week. We hope you enjoy this message from our Sunday service. For more information about our church, please visit us online at newbeginningscos.com. So I want to share a little bit this morning about being a river dweller. How many of you guys know there's a lot of references to water in the Bible? A lot of references to rivers and the rivers of his presence. And so as we dive into this topic, I actually want to start in Psalms. And I'm pulling that up here. Actually, before I do that, I have something else to share. What does a gingerbread man put on his bed? A cookie sheet. I got to thank Karen for that one. She emailed that to me a couple days ago. So if you're watching, Karen, thank you. How about, what do you call a bunch of chess masters bragging about their games in a hotel lobby? Chestnuts boasting in an open foyer. Why was the snowman looking through the carrots? He was picking his nose. It took a second. Why are Christmas trees always looking to the future? Because the present is beneath them. All right, a couple more. What's red, white, and blue on Christmas Eve? You're never going to get this one. Red, white, and blue on Christmas Eve. A sad candy cane. All right, last one. What did the wise men say after they offered up their gifts of gold and frankincense? Wait, there's myrrh. All right, well, I'm gonna dive us in here. So in Psalms 46:4, it says, "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High." Now, this is the NASB version, and I love that they actually use the word places. You're going to see it a little differently in different translations, but it says the holy dwelling places. Why does it say plural places? Because originally, God had Israel build a temple for his presence, right? But the ultimate goal was that he would dwell in the hearts of his people. We are the dwelling places of the Lord. Does that make sense? As the body of Christ, he dwells in us. And so when it says there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High, it's saying us. Not just our environment, but inside of us, something shifts and changes. There's another verse in Psalms. No, I'm going to read it in a different translation, sorry. In the Passion Translation, it says a little differently. It says, God has a constantly flowing river whose sparkling streams bring joy and delight to his people. His river flows right through the city of God Most High into his holy dwelling places. So the river of God, we see this picture described a lot throughout Scripture, and I'm going to pull out a couple of specific places. But the river of God, it's not a river of judgment. It's not a river of condemnation. It's not a river of you need to do the right things. It's just a river of delight and of goodness that flows from him. It brings joy to his people, to the dwelling places of the Lord. And we really see this described a lot more in detail in Ezekiel. And so Ezekiel is one of my favorite books because it's so weird. But it also has some of the most beautiful pictures of kingdom. There's so much incredible symbolism of what the spiritual realm is actually like. And so it's a really, really great book to read if you haven't recently. But starting in Ezekiel 47, verse 3, we're gonna read for a little bit here. So Ezekiel's having this vision, and in this vision, it says there's a man who burned like bronze, who's kind of walking him through the city of God. And he's explaining all of these things to him. And it says, when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits. 1,000 cubits is a little bit more than a quarter of a mile. And it says, he brought me through the waters. So there's waters flowing out through the city. toward the east. And it says, he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through. And the water came up to my knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The water came up to my waist. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep. Water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. So think about this. It's saying he's ankle deep, then he's knee deep, then he's waist deep. Then he's like, you can't cross it. It's too deep. It says you have to swim. Now, the interesting thing about that is if it says it's a river that cannot be crossed, what's the implication? If you try to cross it, what's going to happen? You're going to be swept away. You can't cross it, not because it's so deep, but because the water is rushing. The water is moving. This is not this passive little peaceful like, oh, I can just swim across it river. This is a rushing river. And when you get to the place where your feet can't touch the ground anymore, you're swept away in this river. Now, here's what it continues to say about it. It says, then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. I love that picture. You can imagine, like, he's out there, and he actually had, the man had to, like, kind of pull him back in and bring him up to the bank. And it says, when I returned there, along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. Then he said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley, and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. Oh, catch this. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. There will be a great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. So when the river goes into the sea, it heals the waters of the sea. Now, we have to look at the symbolism of what's happening here because there is so much to unpack. This isn't just, you know, an actual river. This is actually the presence of the Lord flowing out from the city. The river's flowing, and it says it heals the waters. So the implication is there's a great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. So the river does two things. One, it heals whatever's in it. Whatever's in the river begins to experience the healing of God. But the other thing that the river does is when it hits the sea, it heals the waters of the sea. Here's the implication. It's not just the people that are changed. It's actually atmospheres. It's environments that get changed. When an environment around us is changed, we begin to become something else. Many of us have seen people who grew up in a really difficult, abusive environment. And we see the fruit that that results from. My sons tell me stories about kids in school, and I'm like, we don't understand the home life that some of these kids are going through. But I hear stories about, you know, the angry ones, the ones that are just really mean and just, you know, saying abusive things. And it's like, if they're saying that, what have they heard? And I'm trying to help my kids understand that an environment can change things. And when you're in an environment, you can be changed, and you can choose what environment you're going to be in. I'm actually trying to walk some of them through. Are you making good decisions about the environment, the people that you are choosing to surround yourself with? Because that can make such a big impact on our lives. But the other piece of that is we can also begin to shape the environments that we're in. We bring something into that environment. So the river of God, where it flows, the whole environment shifts. And because the atmosphere has changed, because the nature of the water around the fish has changed, the fish actually begin to experience healing. The waters are healed, and the fish in the waters are healed. And I love the idea that it uses fish in this. This is Ezekiel. And then we have Jesus come along, and he says what to his disciples? I'm going to teach you to be what? Fishers of men. So there's such a clear carrying on example of the Lord saying, this is what fish mean. Fish are the hearts of broken people, and we're going to bring them back to me. We're going to catch people, and we're going to bring them into the kingdom. But it's not just about getting people saved. It's actually about shifting environments and atmospheres. And I think sometimes we grow up in an environment or an atmosphere, and it becomes normal for us, and it becomes something we're so used to that we don't actually think about what it could become. And so when we talk about the river of God flowing and how that changes everything around us, there's actually a partnership that we have to join him in with to actually experience the full fruit of that. The river brings joy, it brings delight, and it brings healing. I love this concept of revival and rivers of revival. When we talk about revival, we're talking about an environment where you step into it and things shift. We're talking about being in the river when we talk about revival. And that's not something that we just sit passively back and wait for. There's actually ways that we can engage in the revival that God's offered daily in our lives. So I want to dive into that just a little bit more. But first, I want to take us into John chapter 7. In John 7, Jesus and his disciples are celebrating Sukkot, which is the Feast of Tabernacles. Has anybody ever done any study on any of the feasts or tabernacles? A little bit? Yeah. Yeah, my daughter has. So I'm curious to know if you've heard of these pieces I'm about to bring up. So during the Feast of Tabernacles, they build a temporary shelter. And the idea was that they would stay in this shelter. But it's an unfinished shelter. And this is the interesting thing. It's only got three walls, so there's one wall missing. And the roof of it, usually they use branches and things like that, but it's kind of exposed enough that they can see the stars. And it's also exposed enough that if it was to rain, the rain would come through. And so for a week, they're living in these temporary shelters, but they're also feasting and celebrating and dancing, and there's a lot of fun things going on. But there's two other pieces of this festival that I want to talk about. First of all, there's a ceremony called the lighting of the lamps. And what they would do is the Hebrew people would carry torches around the temple, and they would light these four massive menorahs, candelabras. Like, have you seen a menorah where it has the different, these are 75 feet high, okay? Huge. And they would light these, and what it would do is it would light up the whole temple. And so the whole temple becomes lit up, and it actually is bright enough that it's lighting up parts of the city. You can't not see the light that's flowing from these massive things. And it's a reminder of two things. One, it's a reminder of the pillar of fire that guided Israel in their wilderness journey. And all night long, it says, the light shone in their brilliance. It illuminated the entire city. And here's the thing. The Israel's priests would just dance and sing for joy, psalms of praise. And this whole festival was a reminder that God, also a reminder, not just of the light that he had when he led them with the pillar of fire, but it's also a reminder of the light of the coming Messiah. The light of the coming Messiah who was going to come and be a light to the world. I'm going to come back to this in a second. But the second piece is each morning of Sukkot, the priest would go to the pool of Siloam near Jerusalem, and they would fill a golden flask. And then shofar blasts are greeting them as they come to the temple gate. And they would take that water, they would ascend, and they would pour the water so that it flowed over the altar simultaneously with wine from another bowl. So they would pour water and wine over the altar, and that would flow down the altar. And then the priest called upon the Lord to provide heavenly water in the form of rain for their supply. Also during this ceremony, the people looked forward to the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Some records reference the day spoken of by the prophet Joel, where he says, I will pour out my spirit. Even there's a deliberate word usage of pour out my spirit like water over my sons and daughters, over my people. So they would pour the water and the wine over the altar. So this brings us into John chapter 7. Okay, this is the environment that Jesus and his disciples are in. All of this stuff is taking place. And it says, then on the most important day of the feast, the last day, this is John 7:37, Jesus stood and shouted out to the crowds, all you thirsty ones, come to me. Come to me and drink. Believe in me so that rivers of living water will burst out from within you, flowing from your innermost being, just like the scripture says. So look at this. We have this ritual happening in the temple where water's flowing out from the altar because they're pouring it out. And then we have Jesus saying, I'm the living water. Come to me and drink so that water will flow from you and burst forth out of you. Now here's the thing. The temple is no longer the temple, right? Because we are the temples of the Holy Spirit. So that picture of the water pouring out and flowing forth, that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, look, I'm going to have a habitation in humans, and I want the water of my presence to flow through you. So he's taking on this day of the festival, this picture, and he's saying, this is what I want to do. And it says in the next verse, it says, but this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So now we know when it talks about the rivers of living water flowing from us, that that's a reference to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Again, that goes back to Joel. We see this all tied in. And even when Jesus says, he says, this water will flow from your innermost being, just like the scripture says, that's what Jesus said, he's referring to Isaiah 55. It says, come to me and buy water for free, basically, in Isaiah 55. So we have this amazing picture during this festival. One last piece that I think is amazing, but doesn't really connect to what I want to teach, but I just want to say it real quick, is the next morning in John 8, chapter 12, it says, the next morning, while the torches were still burning, that they had lit these big candelabras, Jesus then says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So we've got Jesus saying, these all pertain to me. And how interesting is it that we can actually see in these ceremonial things that they're doing that there's a real life meaning for it, and Jesus has come to fulfill that. So if we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, God lives in us, and Jesus said, rivers of living water will pour out from you. I think my first question is, are we experiencing that in our lives? Is that something that we actually encounter? Because I think we think everything in the Christian life happens at that point when we pray that prayer, that salvation prayer. And so often, whether we would say it this way or not, we live as though the entirety of our obligation, our performance, our role in our salvation happened when we say, Jesus, come into my heart. And the reality is so much happens in that moment. What he provides for us in that is massive. When we receive salvation, when we receive Jesus, you're a new creation. The old is gone. That means anytime you're still living as if the old is there, we're actually not living in the fullness of what Jesus already did for us. But I want to ask the question, is there more? Do we want to have just a good enough faith? Or do we want to have a faith where rivers of living water are pouring out from us? Jesus said, come to me and drink. Isn't that interesting? That it's not, this wasn't a salvation moment that he was describing. He was saying, if you come to me and drink, you'll receive the Holy Spirit who will flow through you. And what I love is this dichotomy of God where we are both in him, but also filled with him. And we see this all over. Jesus actually prays in John 17, let them be one, I in them and them in me. And so there's this kind of thing where it's we are in the river. We get immersed in it, but it also flows out of us and flows through us. It's a both and. And Jesus is saying, you come to me and you drink, and that's how you get the rivers of living water flowing through you. We actually seek him, and we seek his spirit so that he flows through our lives in a way that doesn't just happen automatically. It's not that it's not offered to us. If we don't have to work for it, that I'm not saying we need to earn this. But what I am saying is there's a level of partnership where we say, Holy Spirit, I want that flowing through me. I don't want to live out of my own intellect, my own understanding. That's why there's so many references to how we think and how we live, what our perspective on the world is. It says, lean not on your own understanding, right? And yet so often that's what we do. And we become saved and we go, okay, I'm saved. And then we continue living, but we're living out of our own understanding. We're not living out of the flow of the river. Because here's the thing, just like we see in Ezekiel, you're not automatically immersed in the river. You can be ankle deep. And I think there's a lot of people that choose to live in the place of ankle deep because that's nice and safe. It's an easy place to be. But what happens if you start to get knee deep or waist deep? You know what happens when you're waist deep? You start to lose a little bit of control, right? When there's a lot of current and the river's flowing, have you guys ever been in a river with a lot of water flowing? Sometimes just knee deep is enough to knock you over. But when you get waist deep, that's when you're like, you're kind of doing this where you're like, you're trying to just keep your feet gripped on the rocks, right? Because if you go out any further, it's going to push you away. Here's the thing. We have a choice how far we're going to go. But as long as our feet are touching the ground, you're in control of your life. As long as your feet are touching the ground, you're in control of your life. When you're submerged in the river, it gets to take you wherever it wants. I think losing control is one of the things that people in the kingdom fear the most. Because we don't know what it's going to look like. We don't know what is the outcome going to be. What is he going to ask me to do? And the reality is, we think the river is this place of God going, I'm going to shake up your life and you're going to, we get so scared of it. But the reality is, how does it describe the river? It's the place of joy. It's delight. Listen, if you don't have delight in your life to the level that you would like it, maybe you're not deep enough in the river. Because that's what's in the river. Shame's not in the river. When you lose control, that's not the place where you, everybody's going to call me foolish and I'm going to, No, it's the place where we actually get to experience the fullness of the delight of the Lord and say, I'm not going to be in charge of my own destiny. If we come to Jesus for salvation, but not for empowerment, we're saying that we can finish the work that he started in our lives. So we got to come to the river. We have to be filled. By the way, being filled, coming into the river, being immersed, that's not coming to church. Maybe that goes without saying, but I don't want that to go without saying. That's not what I'm talking about. What we do here is we celebrate the work that God has done in us all week long as we seek him. But being immersed in the river is something that we do as we pursue him and we say, God, I want more. I want to be deeper. I don't want to be knee deep. I don't want to be waist deep. I want to be completely submerged. And what happens then is we get the benefits of a kingdom atmosphere all around us. Have you guys ever experienced what it feels like to be in this atmosphere where your thoughts are different, the way that you face your problems are different? Like, you can look at things differently. Do you know what I'm talking about? Where it's like, I'm not scared by this circumstance. This person just said something incredibly rude to me. Somebody in my family is struggling. Something bad is happening. But I'm in this environment, in this atmosphere, where there's so much faith and so much trust in me that it's not concerning. I actually feel like I can walk with authority in this situation. Has anybody ever experienced that? And here's the thing, sometimes you experience that one week, and then the next week you're like, ah! Because here's the thing, we can go in and out of the river, okay? That's not a shame thing. But it's important to recognize, because I think what happens sometimes is we experience it for a season. There's breakthrough, there's authority. I'm actually, my whole realm, my whole world has shifted. The atmosphere around me has shifted. And then something happens, we get tired, we get distracted, and we pull back, and then we forget how to get there. And we're just like, oh, how do I get back there? And we struggle with this idea of what it looks like, because when you're not fully in the river, it seems scary again to get back in. But I want to encourage us to begin to let that go, to begin to get comfortable and used to the idea of if you get out of the river, you just go back in. It's kind of like when we go swimming at our pool near our home. I used to love to just get in slowly. Lately, I just kind of fall back and just do the plunge. But when you're in the pool, you're having fun, it's great. But Liv, what happens as soon as you get out of the pool? You get cold, right? A lot of times we get cold, especially in the fall time, and then they don't want to go back in. And once they get back in, they're fine. But once we get out, the wind's blowing, and we're like, we think, oh, this is going to be worse, and it's so hard. What we have to recognize is we're kind of like a stew. Does anybody like stew? Actually, my wife made pot roast recently. Here's the glory of pot roast. The glory of pot roast is that it can make a carrot taste like meat. That's the glory of pot roast. Because what happens when these things are stewing together is the flavors intermix, right? Everything becomes one big jumble, and it's all just a confusion of meat juice, and it's so good. That's how we are. And when we are stewing in the river, That's what's being absorbed into us. That's what's being absorbed into our mind, our mindsets. But when we are ankle deep in the river and the rest of us is stewing in everything else, that's what we're carrying with us. That's what we're bringing with us. That's what's influencing our mindset. So I don't want to go into the river when I'm ankle deep because the whole rest of me is going, I like being in control. I like having my own way. I like making my own decisions. I like scrolling and you know, on my Facebook and my Instagram and absorbing all of this stuff. And like, I like all this. And what we're stewing in, here's the thing. We do it because we want the very thing that the river promises us. We want delight. We want gladness. We want joy. We want peace. And when we're tired and we're running and life is hard, we find all of these things that we think will bring that to us. And all it really does is just stave off the hunger pains for a little while. But it doesn't actually fill us with anything meaningful. We don't walk away from those experiences going, oh, my needs have been met. In fact, when they pop up again, they pop up worse than ever. The river promises the fulfillment of those needs. We need peace. We need hope. We need joy. We need laughter. We need the presence of God. There's nothing that actually legitimately fills those needs other than Him. And I don't want to just tiptoe into His presence now and then. I don't want it to just be like, hey, I went to church and I experienced Him a little bit and then I get to go home. No, we get to stew in all week His presence. And here's the thing, what ends up happening is it changes our atmosphere, right? I want my atmosphere, the atmosphere of my life, to be changed and to be reflective of walking fully in the river, submerged. But what happens if I walk into this room that way and all the rest of us did also? If we want revival, we want transformation, we want the healing presence of God to come in a more powerful way, it doesn't come because of what I do up here. I'm not the special one that makes everything happen. But all of us together, when we all decide, I'm going to live in the atmosphere of the river, I'm going to have the whole atmosphere around me, my perspective, my ability to think, what I'm stewing in is the presence of Jesus. When we all do that and then we come into this room, that creates a bubble of atmosphere of His presence that begins to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and the impact and the effect of it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Is this clicking? I think the enemy does so much to distract us with our problems. And they say, look at this problem, look at that problem, look at that problem. And the Lord is saying, hey, there's a river right here. You're right on the banks. You're right next to it. The Lord says, I will never leave you or forsake you. He will never leave us or forsake us. But that doesn't mean that we're always in the fullness of His presence. He's always at hand, but He's not going to force us into the river. God doesn't, listen, I told you guys this story a while ago, but when I was a little kid, I went up to this high dive. I was probably, 7 years old, 8 years old, and I didn't want to jump off. I was terrified, and I'm standing looking down, and there was this big Fabio guy, like, with this long blonde hair, and, like, he was one of the lifeguards, and finally he was like, I'm just going to deal with this. So he climbed up the ladder, and instead of, like, talking me down or coaching me with kindness, he wrapped his arms around me and jumped into the water in the deep end. And he kind of held on to me for a second, too, so I didn't get my breath, and I'm, like, freaking out. I probably elbowed him and, like, went up for air, but that was terrifying. That's not what God's going to do to us. He's not going to force you to be submersed in the river. But He's right there. And listen, we have so many voices telling us, click here, scroll here, watch this, read this, go here, do this, be this. And the Lord's just saying, you can make all of those decisions, but as long as your feet are touching the ground, you're not going to be fulfilled. You're not going to be happy with where you're headed, even if where you're headed is a good place. I think the road to many good places will lead to dissatisfaction because it's not His road. And He may take us toward the same destination, but you know what a river does? a river twists and it turns and it winds. And we want to go from A to B. And so we're like, I'm going to go because I know that's where I'm supposed to go. And we do it out of our own strength. And we do it with our own feet touching the ground. And the Lord says, if you would just let go, I will get you there. And I may not get you there as quickly as you want, but I will get you there with delight. And I will get you there with joy. And I will get you there with fulfillment. And I will get you there with an atmosphere that begins to change how you're able to interact with the people around you. Because as long as your feet are on the ground, you don't have the authority to affect my change in your world. But when you are submerged in me, the rivers flowing out of you will heal the seas that you're heading to. The atmospheres will change. There's something so important for us to understand about this idea of atmospheres around us changing. Because we walk in the room and you carry something, you carry what you've been stewing in. And if I carry what I've been stewing in, sometimes I walk in the room and I'm like, well, it's the same problem I just faced over here. And it's the same problem I just faced over there. And why is everybody have this problem? Well, guess what? There's a common denominator. You. And what you've been stewing in. But when we are in the presence of God, when we're flowing in his river, we get to walk into the room, and it doesn't matter what the problem is. We don't look at the problem. We're like, I know what he wants to do here. I know how to bring life here. I may not know how to fix everything, but he does. I may not know how to change everything around me, but I can walk into the room and go, you know what? I'm no longer intimidated by my environment. I actually know I get to walk in and shift the atmosphere and bring life and bring joy because it's in me. I have joy to bring. So how do we get immersed in the river? We got to stew in him. We got to stew in the word. The Bible is such a powerful way for us to get his ways of thinking ingrained in us. When I need to remember what it's like to be his son, to be fathered by God, I can dive into 1 John. When I need to remember his love for me, I can dive into Song of Songs. When I need to remember that grace isn't something I earn, but I walk in his empowerment because of his love, I can read Galatians or Romans. When I need to worship in good times or bad, I go into the Psalms. We can really create these places where my needs can be filled in him. We go into places of worship. And we can just allow our spirits and our hearts to engage with him. Sometimes it takes a while to be able to get fully into his presence, especially when it's been a while or if you've never had that breakthrough. There are times where I had not encountered his presence yet, or I'd encountered it a little bit at a meeting here or there, but I wanted it in my personal life, and I began chasing after it. Sometimes it would take days, and sometimes after days of seeking him, I would start to have breakthrough. Sometimes it would take hours. But I also have been in places, and I'm in a place in this season where it's minutes or seconds sometimes, where I can just go, Lord, and he's there. That's not because he's far, but that's because it takes me less time to dive into the river. I would encourage us to make this a focal point of what you do in your week, in your life, because having salvation is an absolutely incredible gift, but it wasn't designed just for us to go to heaven. It was actually designed for us to also be able to access his presence in a powerful way. He won't force it upon us, but there's an invitation to the depths of the river, and I don't want to live up to my knees. I want to be all the way in. This is one of the reasons, one of the other things that you can do to really get this in you, to dive into the river, is go into places or receive from people in places where that's flowing, where the river is flowing. This is one of the reasons that we're actually part of the Bethel Leaders Network. Bethel Church in Redding, California has an incredible move of God, and they've got some incredible leaders. They're not perfect. We don't set them up as an idol, but there's something powerful about the way that God is moving there and the way that their leadership is choosing to live in the river. And so when I listen to podcasts or put on a YouTube or listen to worship, I allow my spirit to be moved by the river that they're flowing in. Because guess what? When they're flowing in the river, the atmosphere around them is changing. And if I'm struggling to change my own atmosphere, I can go where somebody's already changing the atmosphere and be captured by that. And then that flow begins to happen. And guess what happens? It's like getting a starter, like the sparks start to light, and then all of a sudden your own fire catches, and now I know how to get into the river because I've done it. But we have to be able to receive. So I actually spend a lot of time enmeshing my life in places where I see the river flowing, in people who I see it flowing through, and I connect with them, and I make them, you know, that's why we have Fred and Pat come. That's why we have relationships with people who can be mentors, who can say they're flowing in it. And so instead of me being at the top, the only, like, me being at the king of my own ability to do this, I can see there's people that are already doing this better than I am. And so I'm going to put myself in a posture where I can actually receive the benefits of the river and the atmosphere that they're flowing in. Here's one of the most important things about this. This is not a head thing. It's not informational. When we get into scripture, when we get into worship, when we get into podcasts or YouTube or whatever it is, like, I use all of these are tools. Even the word, it's a resource. It's his word. It's truth. But it's not truth designed to make me smarter. It's truth designed to change me by being in his presence. It's beholding Jesus that changes us, not reading the Bible lots of times. Because there are a lot of people who have read the Bible lots of times, and they are not transformed people. It has to lead us into the river. It has to lead us into his presence. That's the chief end, to know God. Not to know the Bible, to know God. This is such an important lesson, and it's fun. Here's the thing. This is not, I think what I want to leave us with is going into the river, we're the ones that make it scary. It doesn't have to be. It's exciting. It's beautiful. It's amazing. There's a verse, one of my favorite verses in Psalms. David says, deep calls on to deep. And he says, your waves and your breakers have washed over me. Your waves and your breakers have washed over me. I've been submerged in the waters. For me, I'm going to give you a little insight into my mindset, okay? I picture this verse when I read it. I never read this verse without picturing it. And the picture I have is this beautiful, spacious, almost cavern with massive waterfalls just pouring down, blue light just kind of shining through. The water's just dumping, and there's mysteries, and there's places to explore there that nobody has ever seen. When it says deep calls on to deep, it's like I'm an adventurer at heart. I love, you know, Indiana Jones and Star Wars, and, like, you know, finding new things. And so there's something about this, what David is saying. He said deep calls on to deep. There's depths of understanding you that nobody's ever been to. There's aspects of who you are no one else has ever encountered. Your waves and your breakers have washed over me. David's saying there's nothing more that I want than to explore the depths of who you are. And listen, we get to do that for eternity, but we don't get to reap the benefits of that eternal understanding him in this life unless we do it here. There's an opportunity that doesn't exist in eternity now to seek after the deep things of the Lord, to be transformed by them, and to walk in such a way that our lives around us are flowing with water that blesses the people that we come into contact with. But we get to be submersed in the joy and the delights of his river, of his presence. When Jesus came to offer the Holy Spirit, it wasn't, here's a nice option. Here's a bonus if you want it. Anybody ever bought anything online where you buy the thing and then it's got that little checkbox like, hey, act now and you can add this little upsell, this little upgrade. You know what I'm talking about? The Holy Spirit's not an upsell. He's part of the package. And Jesus said, to the disciples, don't go anywhere until you get him. Now you remember earlier in the Gospels, he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. But that's different than being immersed. There's a difference. And we've got to be immersed if we want to be people that actually walk out kingdom, not just good enough faith. I don't know about you, but I want my life more and more transformed. My marriage, my kids, my business. It doesn't happen because of me working harder. And I work really hard, maybe too hard sometimes. Maybe I need to learn this lesson a little bit more too. I'm not saying I've got this perfect, but I am saying I have lived in seasons where my whole world has shifted because I was fully immersed in the river. And I make it a constant point in my life to anchor myself there. Here's the last point I want to make. We are going to be anchored somewhere. You're either going to be anchored by your own feet to the ground, or you're going to be anchored to the river. And the difference is this: wherever you're anchored is where you're going to be drawn. So when my life shifts and things are difficult or things are swirling around me, if I'm anchored in the river, then anytime something pops up, it's not just when I go to church, but I'm at home or I'm working or I'm talking to my kids or my wife or something comes up, and my instant response internally is to go, Holy Spirit, where do you want to go? What do you want to do? Where are you flowing? And I go, all right, I'm diving into the river right now. I dive in. And then the atmosphere in me changes, and then around me changes. So now what I'm facing with him, with his direction and his guidance. And a lot of times he says, let's go this way, because that's going to lead to my kingdom, where I would want to go this way if I'm anchored to myself. Anchored to myself means when those things pop up, I think, what should I do? What's the right response here? How do I want to handle this? I feel upset. I feel offended. I feel hurt. And it's all me, 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 me. And that's really how you can know where you're anchored. Do your thoughts run to, I feel, I think, I'm right, I know, I've seen, I heard, or does it go to, he sees, he's doing, he's saying, he's moving? The world moves to its own current. We move to his. So I want us to take a second. I'm gonna pray for us, but I want to ask you to engage with this in your spirit. Can we just have everybody just close your eyes for a second and put your hand on your heart? Father, I just thank you for everyone in this room. I thank you for their lives, for their love for you, their desire for you. God, I thank you for this family, for this church. And Holy Spirit, we just ask for more of you, for more of your presence. Would you immerse us, God, in your river? Would you show us how to stop anchoring our own lives in ourselves, but to anchor them in you? Would you show us how to lose control, how to get into the place where the river sweeps us away? Holy Spirit, I'd ask in this room, in this place, that you would flow powerfully and mighty. Father, I ask wherever we have had fear to fully dive in, that you would just root that out. God, we actually take that and give it to you. We give to you our fear of coming close to you. And Jesus, we just say there's nothing more that we want than to be filled with all of you and who you are, to know you in the deepest way possible, to be led by you. God, would you change our inner atmosphere, the way we think, the way we see? Would you take us to the deep places? And then, Lord, for everyone in this room, I just ask that they would become changers of the environment around them. God, you've called us in your river to bring healing to the seas. You've called us to bring healing to this city. You've called us to bring healing to the environments we go into. And it's not just through asking you to do it, but it's also through allowing you to move through us and in us. Holy Spirit, I just pray right now for supernatural solutions to problems in people's lives. God, I pray that as people dive deeper into the river, that they would begin to see relationship problems become unraveled. They would begin to see financial problems become unraveled. That they'd begin to see, God, the issues that they're facing shift in the presence of the atmosphere of the King. That we would see our lives begin to reshape. God, supernatural restoration of connection in marriages, of love, of understanding, of connection with children, God. We believe that as we engage with you in a powerful way, we can see these things start to change. So God, I just pray right now for the stories that are going to pop up, that as we engage with your Spirit and as we stop trying to hold on to control, that we would see your breakthrough.